And then, of course, telling someone to do something that you don't do yourself. And you could go on for a long, long time, but the end result is that there are many, many facets of this lack of truthfulness and how we're conditioned. Therefore, for us to actually even come to this concept of absolute truth or Krishna consciousness, it's a real struggle. We're really struggling to be human beings. That's what Varnashram's about. People even challenge the whole concept of Varnashram. In other words, we're challenging the concept that we even should be human beings, that whatever we are, we can be pure devotees. Whether we behave like human beings or not is really a detail. So what happens, and this is, you see this in the Gita and Bhagavatam, is that our environment creates a false reality, and we're just naturally attuned to this type of false reality. And out of those that we discussed earlier, we have this concept of truthfulness is that you say what you think. And I know many devotees who have this concept. They're very straightforward, they're very strong. Yes, they say, I'm very truthful. Whatever I think, I say. And I don't know, maybe you know other people or you're also like that. But here, the question comes up, but is that really being truthful? Just saying what you think? Because dogs are barking out there and they're saying whatever they think. But what is the value of that? So it is truthful if what you think is the truth. And if you're the person who's supposed to say it, and you're saying it at the right time and the right place and with a constructive motive. So then you're saying the truth, and there could be even more circumstances that are needed there. But it's also not the truth if what you're saying isn't the truth. And very often we fall into this sort of gap. We heard someone say something, who heard someone else say something, and we repeat that, but it's not necessarily the truth, and that's connected, or some other. We have a perception, we have a thought, we have an idea, but it's not truth. In other words, we're just speaking our mind. Yeah, I speak my mind. But speaking your mind, what's in your mind? And who cares about speaking mind? We want the truth. We don't want people's minds. So, and the purpose is not constructive. Now, you may even be speaking the truth, but you may not be the person who's supposed to speak the truth, and you may not be presenting it in a constructive way. Another example is, obviously, telling someone to do something that you don't do. So the father is smoking cigarettes, and he tells the child, no, you can't smoke, you can't smoke. When you're 18 years old, then you can smoke. Or we give instructions in different ways to others, and yet we don't do them ourselves. And then that's a sort of really a heavy or emphatic form of untruthfulness. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is that you expect something from someone you don't expect from yourself. You tell someone to do something that you don't do yourself. So real truthfulness means that it has to be across the board. And then whatever we tell someone, that's also something that we're doing. This is the basis of education. It's the basis of leadership. Apani achari, koriya prachar. So result is that we're in this labyrinth. And it's a fact. We are really conditioned. And we use this phrase, conditioned soul, conditioned soul, conditioned soul. This is just conditioning in terms of one topic, one subject. We're conditioned in so many other ways. We're just talking about truthfulness. We're embracing a type of reality. We're embracing a sort of life that is really illusory. And the result of that is we're living in illusion. And of course, for devotees, at least we've come to the realization that yes, we're living in illusion and we need to get out of it. So our whole life is like that. Therefore, more or less everything that we do, whether we say or we think, becomes a very habitual. This habitual untruthfulness is called speculation. When we're not in accord with reality, when we're not trained, shastra chakshus, we don't train ourselves to see what does Krishna say in regards to this and this and that, and as soon as we think, I think, and the Prabhupada would explode. Who cares what you think? And when you think, that means speculation, because we're conditioned, so immediately, unless we're thinking along the lines of shastra, then whatever I think is just a byproduct of my conditioning. And so the speculation further makes us untruthful, and so we're in this catch-22 situation, where untruthfulness leads to more untruthfulness and more untruthfulness, and therefore, whereas 100 years ago, abortion was more or less unheard of, or at least unspoken of, now it's legal. And in another 100 years, they'll be eating the aborted babies in restaurants. They do it now in certain places, and they'll do it. Because untruthfulness, it's just a vicious cycle that just goes down, down, down. And then in a couple of thousand years after that, everybody will be eating everybody else. It won't just be the abortions. It'll be anyone who's weak, anyone who's old, although they probably don't taste so good. Or anyone you can hunt down, you can get a hunting license to kill. Then you'll kill. There's nothing else to eat. Because we'll have destroyed our environment, and there's no plant life to eat, and because there's no plant life, there's not going to be animals either. So the only thing left is that there's going to be humans, and that's what Kali Yuga is. That's what the latter part of Kali Yuga is about. And of course, one symptom or one feature of this untruthfulness in terms of action is this whole concept of gambling and speculation. Now, I never knew gamblers. I only knew one gambler, and he was a devotee. And he lost a lot of money gambling. And it's not in here, but I was looking for someone who knows who I'm talking about. And he lost a lot of money gambling. And why is gambling untruthful? Because it undermines the very basis of society, which is that you have to live by honest work. If you can live by the... If you can make a fortune by the toss of... what are they called?
Dice.
Or by some playing cards, what's the need? What's the need for working? What's the need for farms? What's the need for everyone? Think, this is the way to live. You know, it's becoming very much legalized, but it was also something that was illegal. And in certain places, it still remains illegal. So it's such a dishonest approach to life that the very fiber on which humanity rests, which is that, all right, here's this world, but if we don't work in this world, we don't live. So this destroys people's incentive to work, and it gives some kind of illusory concept that everyone can just go in a casino and win some money, and then everyone's going to enjoy. But then who's going to feed you, and what house are you going to live in, and so many other things. So this becomes really disconnected from reality. Gambling is about as far away as you can get from reality, that this is how I'm going to live. What are the some further consequences of this? And that is that our whole life really becomes a lie. Untruthfulness means that we're lying. So we're living a lie, and sooner or later, everyone wakes up to that. Unfortunately, they wake up too late at the time of death, or they may not even wake up then. They may wake up when they head down to where he's in charge, and then they come to realize. But people also lose their self-confidence, because truthfulness is the parameters, or they're the coordinates by which we live, by which we measure where we are. when anything goes, then you lose your coordinates. And ultimately, you lose your own self-confidence and you lose your self-identity. You just forget who you are. Obviously, people get to know this person, this lady, this gentleman is a liar, and therefore you can't trust him. So you lose other people's trust. And you think, well, if I'm like this, everyone else must be like this, and you're probably right, they are. So that means you can't trust, and that's something that we also have difficulty with as a community, and that particularly the counselor system is trying to help develop or build, is that we can actually trust each other. In other words, what you see is what you get. That I am the person who's talking to you and who's interacting with you. It's not that I'm thinking something else and I'm saying something else and I live another world. And therefore, we can actually build relationships. Because on the basis of these, there's no question of, I don't trust you, you don't trust me, I don't know who I am, you don't know who you are. We can't have a relationship. So therefore, the whole social cohesion is undermined because no one trusts anyone else. So that I showed you the other day. This is the end result of, we're living in a world where, you know, the emperor doesn't have clothes. Okay, but there was actually hope. And why is there hope? Because we do have, we are able to choose a reality. We are able to actually choose our reality. And of course, karmis, they choose an illusory reality, which even in the mode of goodness, it's better than nothing. And devotees have the absolute reality, which is spelled out for us in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So how do we choose a reality? This is making particular types of choices. And by acting with things that really are or should be in accord with reality, by acting in accord with things as they are. And I'll just give a few examples of that. In other words, we change how we think, we change how we speak, we change how we act. And our actions are very much, and thought and speech is very much based on what Krishna says, because what Krishna says is reality. So this one we already touched on. Yes, you should speak your mind, but speak your mind when you know what you're saying is the truth. Otherwise, you should think twice. And we should live by principles. We shouldn't live by misconceptions. We shouldn't live by material desires, by false expectations. And that's what really Varnashram is about, laying down the principles of human life in addition to laying down devotional services, laying down the principles of devotional life or absolute life. And then, of course, why do we need, if we've got devotional principles, why do we need human principles? Because there are so many things in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita that are just taken for granted. It's taken for granted. Paramahamsam nirmatsaranam satam. It's taken for granted that you're already advanced in the human form of life. It's taken for granted that you already know how to be a human being. And that's why we need some refresher lessons, because the world we live in is not geared for making human beings. It's for making people animals, or worse than animals. So, and what are our principles? So devotees really need to be, and they are, the principled-centered people. So we know we have principles, no illicit sex life, no intoxication, and so on. But what about our other principles? This truthfulness is one of the principles, and the very other parts of that principle, other than truthfulness, the whole concept of cleanliness, simplicity, austerity. I'm sitting back here preparing for this program that we're going to be doing in Croatia for not devotees, but for our outreach preaching. And today I was just studying about what the acharyas say about, you know, the avadhuta. This is on the 24 gurus, and which is nature, in other words, learning from nature. And one of them is the python. And the python, he just sits there and he just waits. He just waits for at least something close enough that he strikes. I don't think you expect him to like walk right in his mouth. That's being a little too much, but within his reach. And then Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas Vishwanath and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how a Vaishnava does not go out of his way to get his edibles, get the necessities of life. Things have to come within his reach, and then whatever he gets, he's satisfied with. We don't live in a world that you're supposed to be satisfied with whatever you have. We live in a world that dictates never be satisfied with what you have, always want more, and always get more, and always be more. So, but these principles, and that's another presentation I did in Budapest on satisfaction. So, and this gossiping, it's very interesting that when Raghunath Das Goswami asks Lord Chaitanya, what's the quality of a sannyas? Lord Chaitanya replies, please give me instructions on sannyas. Lord Chaitanya just says a few things. He says, gramya kata na shudive. Gramya kata means don't gossip. Very interesting. Lord Chaitanya would start with this. Because it's gossiping means I talk to someone about something that's irrelevant. And it may not be necessarily saying something bad about someone else. But if it's not really relevant for serving Krishna, and if it's wasting time, wasting my human form of life, even that falls into the category of gossip. What to speak of corridor talk and others. But praising others. And that we learn how to actually speak the whole truth. I find this very often when I try to actually pull it out of devotees, that, you know, they say something, but they don't say everything. And it's really hard to get the whole truth. That's why, I don't know, well, in Hungary, I don't know what they say, but in America or in England, when you're in a court of law, and you have to take a vow, you say, I swear to say the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the whole truth means not saying part of the truth. And don't hide it. Yeah, I know he did something really bad, but he's my really good friend. I can't really say it. Here's something that's socially disruptive. Here's something that's causing some kind of difficulty somewhere to someone. But he's my friend, so I can't tell it. I'm hiding it. And that happens, unfortunately, frequently. And whatever we tell others, we do ourselves. And a little further is that whatever we're expecting other people to do, we also do. So whatever parents expect children to do, that they do. And that we teach children to do also what we're doing. And that if we make a promise, we keep it. We have a lot of examples where that doesn't happen. But in order to actually make these choices, you have to have... let me see how many I have, whether I can finish today or go through... No, we'll have to go through another time. In order to make these choices, we need a certain type of determination. You have to have strength. You have to have... strength of character, as they say it in English. It's a very nice phrase. You need to have strength of character. You need determination. And we have to see out of our illusory position, and we have to see a new type of reality. And certain values of that reality, and of course these are ABCs for devotee, but remember this presentation was for non-devotees. That life is about self-realization, and it's not about sense gratification. Maybe that certainly also applies to us to a lesser degree, but it's still there because the desire for sense gratification is still strong in us. And although we know this very well and we say it on a daily basis, many times perhaps, but still the habit of being this body is very, very strong because it's very long-lasting. We've been this body for thousands of creations. And of course, that the fact is that this world was created, it didn't come from nothing, which means that we have an obligation, a responsibility, and a connection to that creator. And that we learn to live by what we need, and not by our expectations, what we want, what our vacho vegam, manasakoda vegam, what our mind, belly, genitals push us to do. And we, this concept of being rooted in values, to actually re-root ourselves, and in Krishna consciousness, it's like if you've had a computer, and you're reprogramming a computer. So literally speaking, that's what devotees are meant to do. And Srila Prabhupada says this often. He says that unless you understand that everything in the material world and everything you've learned is wrong, then you're not going to be able to properly practice Krishna consciousness, what to speak of preacher. Wrong in the sense that we're conditioned. It doesn't mean that one and one isn't two, but it just means that we're conditioned as to what one and one plus two is meant to be used for. So we need to reprogram ourselves and be very much open to reprogramming ourselves, not just adding Krishna consciousness. So yesterday, last time I was speaking about this concept of modernity, yesterday Shambhihari was listening to Bhaktivedya Purnimaraj giving a class, who is saying that if you accept something that's modern, then you're against the Vedas. And it's very simple. If there's something that's modern, there's something that man thought up today, then you're against Vedas because Vedic tradition is a traditional system that's already established. You don't need anything modern. You just need to accept what already has been stated and what already exists. So this being rooted in values is extremely important. And we're going to stop here, but of course there are two things that are important. And this is one of the regulative principles. Avoid mental speculation and don't gamble. So I'm just going to stop here because time's up, and then we'll continue sometime. Truthfulness is connected to this speculation and this gambling. And gambling just doesn't mean going to a casino. Gambling may also mean that I'm going to take a gamble that if I choose another type of lifestyle, we're talking about varnashram, that although this is my varna, but I take a gamble that I can function in some other type of varna, and that's okay. Or that although the Vaishnava senior devotees say this, I'm going to gamble that I know better. That's a gamble. And that's taking chances. I take a chance, despite the fact that this is the honest thing to do, that this is the approved thing to do, I'm going to do something else on the chance that I'm going to get a result that I want, which is actually not in line with either my guna or my karma. So that's what the other gambling is about. It's not in my karma, but I'm going to become a billionaire anyway. So avoid speculating and avoid gambling. So how do you avoid speculating? That if we ask ourselves, is what I'm thinking, speaking, doing, is this in line with Krishna instructions? Is this in line with Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya? And the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is that you become so saturated with Bhagavatam class and the truths of Krishna consciousness that it becomes spontaneous. And when truthfulness becomes spontaneous, then your thinking becomes the truth. But if you don't practice it, and if you don't imbibe it, then you just stay with the conditioned way of thinking. It becomes the conditioned way of speaking and the conditioned way of acting. You can't get away from it. So that's why, as we emphasized, finished the last time, it's so important for devotees to actually enter into this culture of reprogramming themselves. And the program is Srimad Bhagavatam. Unless you reprogram yourself with the Bhagavatam, you're stuck in the old paradigm. You can't get out of it. And you can get out of it by chanting Hare Krishna, but it's highly unlikely that you'll just be able to do it just by that, because it requires a very high quality of chanting to do it without Bhagavatam. So avoiding speculation and don't gamble. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. And then we'll finish off the next time. Not that much to do, but